Representative Greenberg has a question.
Mr. Taylor, I think you made a good point about the roommates. Being a landlord myself, I think that it's an excellent idea to require that all roommates sign the lease and that they all be responsible.
I agree.
Okay, with that, on to Kay Thomas, Eugene Devine, and Steve Kahn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the Judiciary Committee. My name is Kevin Thomas, and I have some rental properties here in Anchorage. And I think that you've all worked real hard on this legislation, and I think it's good legislation. I don't think that it's designed or targeted at honest, hardworking, law-abiding citizens, particularly the five-day notice. I think it's the intent of the drafters of this legislation to target petty crime. And petty, I mean a crime that often exceeds $1,000. On the average, it's between $1,000 and $1,500, the cost of the landlord. The attorney that came in and presented some hypothetical situations of honest, abiding tenants being victimized by the legislation. I've managed as many as 500 apartments at a time, and I've never come down hard on someone who is communicating if they have a problem with their finances. The landlord would always work with the tenant if it's a good tenant. I think that any landlord here would vouch for that. What this legislation would do is, in a small way, help the landlord to eliminate criminal act on the property, and all of the other abiding tenants appreciate their whole environment being maintained. I've seen examples where the other tenants are glad to see the bad apple gone. And I hope that you follow through on this legislation, and I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have the next witness?
My name is Eugene Devine. I have lived in Alaska for some 25 years, and I served in Alaska during World War II and Thailand. So I think I know Alaska quite well. I have invested in Alaska through four rental property units, which I have, family housing. And I may say that my experiences with most of those people has been just simply wonderful. I've tried them all. However, like the previous speaker talked about the bad apple, it will spoil the whole barrel. Some of the remarks that I hear from landlords are sometimes unbelievable because of the tremendous expenses they have incurred by the thoughtless and irresponsible people. One of the things that I would like to say is that the bill in its present form satisfies me to a great extent. I know that no bill is perfect, probably. But I think that the problem which I hear so much about is where the landlords are required to help out the social services as non-paying tenants. When I agree with that, it will be the day that I see people walking out of the Safeway or cars with a sack full or two or a cart full of groceries and they didn't pay for it. Then I might go along with the idea. These landlords need our protection. I sometimes think that some of the housing shortages are caused by irresponsible tenants who scare away people who might be interested in investing in real estate property. Rental unit property. I think I can say safely that those prospective people who are contemplating purchasing rental units would listen to some of the problems expressed at our monthly meeting, they would shy away from ever going into this business. And I would venture to say further that if some real estate agent had a prospective tenant, prospective customer in there who was considering rental properties as an investment, he'd shy away from it, and the real estate agent would never ever want to bring in a prospective investor to one of our meetings. I want to thank the committee for having this opportunity to express my opinion and to express my guidance.
Thank you very much for testifying today. Could we have the next witness, please? Oh, Mr. Devine, do you have a mailing address? I don't have that down on my list here.
It is 2115 Turnagain Parkway, 99517.
Thank you very much. Mr. Khan there?
Can you hear me? Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Possibly. Could you give us your address also, sir?
Steve Khan, our address is 519 West 8th, Suite 204. That's Alaska Public Interest Research Group. Again, I'm Steve Khan. I'm the executive director of ACPERC. We were made aware of this piece of legislation as it emerged really only last week when I was down in Juneau working on the consumer protection issue. I have to say personally, I can sympathize with many of the people who have testified today because I've been a landlord myself since about 1975, and I went through the hard times, I went through the good times. I've had a fourplex, I have an owner-occupied duplex I live in right now, and have lived in for 15 years. So I know how horrible experiences can be, just like the movie, just like Pacific Heights. I think most of the people in this room have had at least one experience like that. Nonetheless, on behalf of the organization, I would like to encourage you to move a little more slowly on this. It's quite obvious that the testimony you're hearing is principally from the landlords and the smaller landlords. What we're getting over in ACPERC is a lot of feedback from tenants who have a lot of complaints, particularly as housing has gotten tight. Not so much tenants of the small landlord, but tenants of the large multi-unit dwellings. And these run the gamut from safety concerns to the quality of the people who are assigned with managing these operations. Endemic is the problem of getting back one security deposit based on things that are allegedly beyond wear and tear. I notice here Section 16 that Mr. Ilgin did not speak about in the draft speaks of the refund of the security deposit. And down the new language suggests that if you can't find the person after 90 days, you can pocket the money. Well, some of these people are going to be gone, out, homeless. I mean, unless you're checking Bean's Cafe or something like that. There's some question about that. I endorse the Representative Grunberg's suggestion that maybe we should build into this legislation some mediation, although I don't think that is going to hit the prime aspect of the legislation, which has to do with do you evict or don't you evict. But mediation would be useful, and it may be that could be added to the work done by the Fair Business Practice section of the Department of Law and give a further impetus to the legislature to add some funds to the broad-based area of consumer protection. But in general, I have to adopt by association the concerns raised by Mr. Ilgin related to due process, but in a more political sense, with total sympathy to the small landlord, I really encourage you to hold some hearings at times and places convenient to the tenants who are out there earning the money to pay their rent. Thanks very much.
Last year wasn't convenient for him?
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, thank you for the compliment, Mr. Khan. That was Representative Ellis who deserves the kudos on that, on the mediation. I do support that. I would appreciate if you two could give us a sectional with your legal thoughts and suggestions, just like I asked Mr. Ilgin to do. Could you do that?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, we go on to the next witness, which should be Charlie Lippitt.
Thank you. This is Charles Lippitt. You know, I support this bill and hope everybody there will support it. It's been said it gives more time for the people to come up with their rent money. I personally believe that if somebody's renting a house knows well in advance that they're not going to pay the rent when it's due. I ask them when the renter comes on, I tell them when the rent is due. They know that and agree to it. I also ask for the legal deposit in advance. So I can't see that they don't know when the rent is. Think about the rent. They know they're not coming. On this business of the certified and registered mail, I heard that some were felt that it was unfair not having that because the tenant might be out of town and have a friend come to pick it up. I think the tenant, when he comes in, should make sure that the landlord knows where he's going to get his mail. If he's not going to get his mail at the place where he's renting, it's up to him to tell the landlord where he's getting the mail so the landlord can send the mail in person. Friend comes at a post office box or one of these private mail drops, gets mail. You don't know where that, and they're using that. There's no way your registered certified mail is going to get there. And I think also that it should be that the landlord, if we get this 5 days notice, the landlord should be able to go into the unit 5 days and they don't see any signs of the tenant occupying the unit, not have to wait the 7 days. Don't want to cloud the issue up more by putting any additional amendments in, but that's the way I feel. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next person, Dan Loring, and then Jim Plunkett, and then Lori Papp.
Yeah, hello, my name is Dan Loring. Dan Loring, I live down here in Mountain View at the current time, so please don't misunderstand where I'm coming from. I'm coming from a position of a person that lives in a lower income area, not in Birmingham or one of those other areas of greater influence. In my past, I've represented up to 2,000 employees that belong to a union. I did that for about 10 years. Now I'm a property manager in Anchorage. I know a little bit about the problem that the state faces concerning the social issues. Because that was part of my job representing employees of labor union. I think the bigger problem than that is that obviously a national problem. The one statement by Mr. Elgin that I must have misunderstood. I thought that he said that the research has shown that landlords are better off keeping tenants that aren't paying the rent because they have lower turnover. He further suggests that it's an additional burden to the federal and state government and the local municipalities when tenants evict tenants or when landlords evict tenants because it increases the homelessness. Well, I agree with that. I believe that Mr. Elgin was hoping to maybe lower some of the costs on federal and state governments by increasing the cost of landlords. If he's successful in doing that, what's going to happen is the cost of building multi-unit apartment complexes will be increased. Thus, it will take higher rent rather than lower rent to build, and you will compound the serious problem we have both on national and state level of homelessness. But to hear Mr. Elgin speak, being compassionate for the person that's trying to pay his rent, I was just appalled by the rhetoric of Mr. Elgin. I would like to thank the House Judiciary Committee, and I would request that this bill, as written, be passed. The one issue that I'd like to address is the 5-day notice, or the 10-day notice being lowered to 5 days. I think that everyone must remember that the primary motive for a person either building or buying a multi-unit rental property is profit. And if you have a good tenant, I don't believe that because the tenant looked at you wrong, you're going to evict them. I do believe that there's somewhere between 20 to 40% of all Alaskans that have a problem with narcotics or alcohol. And because of those type of sicknesses, there's a certain amount of irresponsibility from people that are renting properties. I think it's very easy to see who's responsible and who's not responsible. So I would ask special consideration be given to that 5-day notice, understanding that there's going to be a lot of pressure to amend that out of the bill. But I believe that if you are a good tenant, you will pay your rent, and if you need additional time, you'll work that out with your landlord, and your landlord will be compassionate because you're a good tenant. If you're not a good tenant, I think that the onus is on
testimony. I really agree with that comment. Jim Plunkett and then Lori Papp, and that concludes the public testimony, and then I wanted to raise a question to the group in general.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Judiciary Committee, for letting me testify here. My name is Jim Plunkett. I've been a landlord on and off for about 8 years now. I'm as charitable as the next person, but any eviction that I have had to do usually involves complaints from other tenants, complaints from the single-family residents who own these residents. They're next to mine. And the eviction is usually wound up with rent, a loss of rent for me about 2 months average. Therefore, I lose time and money spent in the eviction, and time and money usually to cleaning and repairing these apartments, which is quite a lot. So, to date, I've had like about six tenants that I had to request to leave. I have not received any money owed from these people. They're just a total loss. My wife and I also work full-time jobs to take care and so to take care of these problems. So I've had an employee, a property manager. This adds a 10% cost that I have to recover on this property. Any laws that make property management easier would let me offer my apartments at a cheaper rate. And I'm sure I think everything would go a lot smoother for me. Thank you.
Okay, Lori Papp.
This is Lori Tate. I'm here as a landlord, and I would like, I am willing anymore to come to your hearings and hear legal services here at state tax dollars. It seems like we can't fund the ombudsman's office. We can't fund all sorts of things, but we manage to fund legal services to come here. And apparently they have more priority. I've heard a lot of costs. There are a lot of people asking them, what do they think they should do about this? And I've heard some talk about meditation. I'd like to see some meditation for collection. You have to evict a tenant. It costs you about $300 for attorneys. That doesn't pay for the cost of the apartment cleaned, nor your downtime. I'd like to see some meditation. Just somebody to collect some money back from sometimes. I didn't hear legal services talking about my rights, though. Now, it seems to me like if you agreed to pay rent and it comes around to about the 5th of the month, and the courts are all full and we don't want to clog up the courts, you're here, reading at my house, I should ought to be able to call the cops. It wouldn't cost a dime. We just get the cops to show up. No rent receipt, you move. I imagine they'd walk over somebody's services that I misquoted how much their electric bill is going to be costing. So we should probably go on to the cost of this. Now, the average rents in this town for a two-bedroom right now are set by Asheville, which is low income at $650. That's pretty much, I hate to say, the top end of the market, but it's set there. That $650 will probably be spent as thus. $50 per unit for gas, $50 per unit for insurance, $50 for water and sewer, $50 for tax, $50 for electric. Assuming you didn't buy your fourplex in High Times, you're paying $250,000 for a $120,000 mortgage to retire the debt. That doesn't cost the cost of repairs or vehicles that it costs to do these repairs or paint or anything else. Now, when we're dealing with state things and how long my carpet's going to last, if I'm dealing with an ASHA tenant, they've got a five-year limit on countertop, carpet, and appliances. At the end of 5 years, you're supposed to throw it out because it wore up. I'm not sure how high I've got to get rent up to pay for that, but I'm figuring that out. Somebody said they lost rent due to somebody who was collecting welfare and probably drinking or drugging it up. They would wonder why the welfare check couldn't come directly to them for part of their rent. Probably a pretty good idea. Now, I'm not sure Anchorage has a lot of trouble with pit bulls. I don't know how we have that problem because my insurance agent won't insure me if I rent a pit bull. The city came up with their CHAS report. I don't know if you guys have seen a copy of it or not here yet. But I heard a few tenants or landlords here from Mountain View. According to that CHAS report, it says that they've got a big crime problem with drug and alcohol. It'd be kind of nice if you'd send some dollars up here so we could straighten that out. Now, I guess the other thing that it all comes around to as I see this ask the landlord, is that a problem? We got a bill here that might help him. Now, you can either pass this bill and help us, or you can do it this other way. Alaska State Housing Authority owns 1,000 units that used to be owned by private individuals. How much money have you folks spent funding Alaska Housing Authority over the last 10 years? I don't know that answer either, but I think I'd like to find out. Plus, they're planning to buy 1,000 units, again, that used to be owned by private owners. Alaska Housing Finance Corporation also is intending to buy some more. I would hope that when you guys consider the homeless, you consider this. What? The HFC gave Catholic Social Services $260,000 to provide housing for families, 25 families, the Armory in Mountain View. That figures out about $2,500 a month for a place to sleep. In the meanwhile, in the same week we did this, we pretty much shut down Clare House, which meant we lost about 35 beds. We've got 10 less beds for homeless than we did, although it cost us $260,000 more. There must be some kind of arithmetic I don't understand about this. If you'd like any questions answered, I'll give you my fax number and you can just, I got the solution, sir. Thank you.
Representative Martin.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Pape, when you talk about Alaska Housing and their commitment to help renters and all, what is the base income that they use? I've heard anywhere between 20 and 40,000. Do you have any idea on that?
I believe that it's somewhere around 30,000. Mm-hmm. Anchorage Housing Authority uses 40,000, which, gosh, I think a lot of banks would be glad to. If you make it $40,000 and you can't pay the rent, I have to ask you what you're doing with your money.
Well, the troubles that you have and some of the others, is it with the higher income people? I can't believe people with even $30,000, I don't make that, can get Alaska Housing assistance for their rent. What is it based on?
It's based on number in the family, and I think, I want to say for a woman with one child, it might be where they can get some assistance starting at $20,000. But you can't get on ASHA anyway. Even if you made $10,000 today, you couldn't get on ASHA unless you checked into a shelter and lived at a shelter first. That is the only way to get on ASHA.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Lori, what's your address? Do you have an address that you didn't show up on the printout here?
209 Stewart.
Yeah, what's the zip code? Is it STEW?
ART 99508.
99508. Okay, thank you very much. Well, with that, we're going to conclude the public testimony. I guess we don't have a quorum, so we can't take any action. I want to move this bill. Point out for the record, there was some comment about having more public hearings. We had hearings in Anchorage this summer on it. It's been overwhelmingly pro in favor of the CS today. Mr. Elgin's going to take do us the courtesy of providing us with some written comments and suggestions. We want to take a look at those, and I encourage you to do that. If we really like them by Wednesday, so the committee can consider those in a final markup and move ahead with the legislation and so forth. So with that, I really want to thank everybody for really good comments today and taking this much time to participate in this process. I think it's been really educational and really important. I would point out that there will be one other amendment that will be before the committee. Representative Gruenberg has proposed to add an amendment that would amend the notice part so that if notice was made at the premises by posting, that it would also have to be sent just by ordinary mail, not certified mail, but by ordinary mail. So that if that amendment, we'll vote on that next meeting, and if that was to pass, then you'd have the three systems. You'd either deliver it in person, or leave it at the premises and mail it, or mail it by registered or certified mail. So we'll be dealing with that issue at that time also. So I guess that'll wrap it up from general. And I just want to thank everybody again for participating.
Amen. I can see news on.
Talk to